Thank you, priest. And life is worth living just because he lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know how some people can go through this life without Jesus. I say, Lord, that is coming against us, come against us on a daily basis. It takes the grace of God. Amen? To sustain for us to even say, let us see tomorrow. So truly, life is just worth living just because Christ. Today, our message will be on dimensions of God's love. Amen?
Amen.
Dimension of God's love. And we're going to take a reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. I want you to read with me. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everlasting love of God. 2,000 years ago, and some years, something happened. Something of such importance that the foundation set for us to rejoice today and keep rejoicing for what God has done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What was it that happened? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and yet he rose again from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so me and you now have hope of eternal life. Because he died and rose again. Amen? Apostle Paul said that of all men we are miserable if he didn't rise again from the dead. Amen? But because he rose, our faith is no more in vain. The faith me and you practice today, or the faith that anybody who have common sense to tap into the lifeline, the gift of God, is that Jesus Christ came and died. And Satan probably thought he has won a major victory when on Friday he was crucified. But you know what? That was always the plan of God out of love. And that is where we're going to go a little deeper this morning. In the few minutes we have, because we have another major event at the end of the fellowship. So Satan thought that he has won a major battle when he crucified Christ and pushed Pilate and all of them to say, crucify the righteous one. But that was the plan of God from ages, even before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ will have to come and die for sinners like me and you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he rose, he took them by surprise. You know, certain things happened that day. I start to imagine what happened that when Christ rose from the dead. Today, if you go to, I think it's Jialin, China, somewhere, you see the grave of Buddha, who is no god, but they claim him to be one. His bones are still in his grave. You go over there to Medina, and you see the bones of Muhammad under the green dome. Fancy and tricked out over there, but his bones is still in that grave. But when you come to the grave of Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen?
Amen? The angel asks them one nice question. The way I say, what are you guys doing here? We come to look for Jesus Christ, who was buried here. I say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That thing changed the equation. Everything about our faith, my faith, your faith, was set that Christ rose from the dead. There is no other man or woman or God or whatever they call themselves that have been able to do that or could do that. No, when he was telling them weeks or months before, I say, destroy this temple and I will do what? What did he say? I. He didn't say another person, another God. He said, destroy this very temple, this very body, and I will raise it again. And he gave them time and hour. 3 days. He came up just like he said it. You know, when he was there, doing all the wonders in the grave, in the netherland of where the dead and the captive of the people were held, turning everything upside down over there, for he went to take the captives. That's the only reason he went there. And then when it is time, he came and said, hey, open the gates. I said, who is it that speaks so? In Psalm 24. Open ye the gates. Let the King of Glory come. Who is this King of Glory? Say, God mighty in battle. Grave, death could not hold him captive. No power can hold the creator of heaven and earth captive. He blasted through that gate and came back with glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And declare life eternal to anybody, any person here this morning. If only you can tap into that lifeline, into that gift of God. If you only you can see that there is a plan of ages by him who said, the Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I'm going to show you something in scripture. Maybe you haven't seen it this. That this plan was from ages. That the path to Calvary and beyond was paved by love. You know, like you build a house, you make a pavement out of it. If we can reflect in a house using it, I would say that the foundation of what we have today was made by love. The walls was by love. Bulwarks was by love. The towers, everything to the roof of that house, that temple that God has given me and you by grace was built and made by love. Love eternal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now know that God in his mercy set your salvation by love even from ages. It wasn't just a thought that came 2,000 years ago. That has been the plan of God. And today we discuss, you know, when the Greeks, you know, who are very knowledgeable and stuff, they start to look into the issue of love and question about love. They come up with different dimensions and characteristics of love. They are the one they call Eros, which is kind of a kind of love, you know, intimate stuff. I have the philia, they have the storge, which is a familiar kind of love that people can show to different family or your own family. They came across the knowledge that there is a special love that is sacrificial kind of love. And this kind of love has no, it's just unmeasurable. You cannot measure it. This kind of love has no, there is no way you can equate it to anything. They come up and say that it is a love that never fails, like it was pointed out in 1 Corinthians 13, around 8, say, it's love that does not fail. I say, what kind of love? They call it agape love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is a God kind of love that no mortal being, no human being can emulate. Today we see all that kind of love failing. Today people fall in love, unfortunately, 50 or 2 days later on, they fall out of it. Today people call this kind of love and also love. But the love that Jesus Christ, the love that God has for me and for you is not measurable. It does not fail. There is no bottom to it. There is no top to it. You go as far wide as to the right, it is still endless. And to the left, there is no end to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we're going to come to that. that even such love is being questioned because of the enemy putting it into the hearts of men this day to question the love of God. What manner of love, he says, in John 3:16, a popular verse all of us know, John 3:16, put it for us, please. What manner of love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is a message we have to take across to all mankind. And if you are here this morning, you don't have not experienced the love of God. I'm telling you that God so loved you, that God so cared about you, that he did something that is not thinkable. He said that heaven was in silence, and there was silence in heaven when this decision was made. That God himself, the everlasting God, the Prince of Peace, the beginning and the end, took out the cloak, the garment of his kingship, put it aside, and put in a mortal flesh to come and die for me and for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is a love that you cannot understand. It has to take revelation for you to fathom the depth of God's love towards you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That God so loved the world that he gave not two or three or four, but his only begotten Son. That whosoever, whether you are black, you are green, you are poor, you are rich, whatever you are this morning, sitting or standing with us or hearing us from any part of the world, hearing Emmanuel Oba preaching to you this morning from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, that God so loved you that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Had a quick discussion with somebody during the week. Like, what is the best thing that ever happened to you? Well, I have a lot of great things that happened to me. I married my beautiful wife. That's a great thing. I had my children. That's a great thing. I was able to put food on my table. A lot of good, great things. But the greatest is the day I gave my life to Christ. I say, yeah. Looking back till today, put everything in the world. Give me the whole world, I will still choose Jesus Christ. Because that, my wife, as good as she is, my children, whatever it is I have, none of them can give me eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Jesus Christ came with a package. He came with a package that nobody can compare. You go to some job and start looking for the company. Do I have insurance? Do I have this? Does he have this? That is the criteria for you to take it. The package that God gave to us is such great and so deep and so wonderful that nothing can compare it. With Christ come every other good thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But greatest of all is that we have eternal life. And it wouldn't have been possible if Jesus did not rise from the dead. But he did die and he arose. The grave testify it because it is empty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Another depth of God's love to you. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at the different dimension. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. But not only that, the people that Jesus Christ come to die for are sinners. Wretched, poor sinners like me and you. People who should not have hope, now have hope because of his grace. Years ago, as a chaplain in a hospital, volunteer chaplain, I go to hospital to preach and minister. And when people are in a situation, mostly when they are expecting the end of life, they asked for a chaplain. I was called. I've told that story in this church. And I saw this noble-looking man lying down on the bed. He told me, I am at the end of the line, more or less. And I'm going to meet my maker, but I don't know, I don't have hope. I said, why do you think you don't have hope? Because of what I have done. This man was an assassin, people that kill people. And when maybe you hear part of his life story, being a human being, I'll say you deserve to go to hell. That's a human being speaking. But he was looking at me and said, is there hope? And I really don't have answer because I was surprised of this kind of person coming at this point to look for way out at the last minute, squeaking through the door. And I keep looking and then he says, let me think, give me a minute. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I remember that there was a cross. And there was three cross. Christ was in the middle, another man on the left, another one on the right, and they start to debate among themselves. If you are truly the Son of God, get yourself out of this crap and get us out of it too. The other one said, don't do that. We deserve what we are getting. He didn't deserve any of it. And I said to the man, I said, yes, there is hope. Have you read the Bible? A little. Have you read about the thief that died on the cross? Yes. That man was the worst of the worst. He was a killer. He was a rapist. He was evil. He was anything that is so bad that he deserved to be hung on the cross. Then he suddenly opened his mouth and said, and just reached out to God's everlasting love. And said, I know what we have done and so on. But could you just pull me, tag me along, give me a passport and a visa right away to be with you in that place you are going? And Jesus said, today, amen, not tomorrow, not next tomorrow, not yet to come, not let me think about it. Just because this person has asked for grace, he received immediately the grace of God. Today you will be with me where? In paradise. My God. He has tallied his sins over the years, piled them back in bucketfuls. Evil has piled up upon him upon to the point that he was dead. He should be dead. He should go to hell, but not to Jesus. That is the depth of God's love to me and to you. That God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners. That is a depth of love that you cannot imagine. I can do something for people because they are nice, you know. At least they deserve some kind of, there are some goodness in them. You can find something worth looking at. But these are people that cursed God. These are people that look down on him. These are people that doesn't hold him in regard in any form or manner. Righteousness to them is a joke. Their way is evil. But yet, God did what? Commended his love towards me and to you. All of us sitting here. None of us was born righteous. It is the grace of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People use the prodigal son as an example of God's love towards his children. I say that does not really tell the truth. Just do justice to the story. Because this son only went and spent some money, as bad as it is, squandered it, and then came back and said, Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. At least he came back to even say that. I said, supposing this son has killed people, supposing this son has committed such evil that he was going to be killed, he was going to be crucified, he was going to go to death based on what he has done. And he came back to his father and said, hey, Lord, Father, I have done. Can you take my place? Do you think that his father will leave his kingdom? Assuming he's king. Do you think he will leave his thrones? Assuming he has one. Do you think he will leave the honor and the respect and the things, praise and gratitude you receive on daily basis from thousands and thousands of angels. And say, let me take off my kingly suit and let me give up my throne to come and die for this my prodigal son. I doubt it. But that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ gave it all for me and for you. He gave it all for me and for you. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Another depth of God's love. We call it dimensions of God's love. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? In love. Do you see this dimension? Now he doesn't know what he's going to get. And he already made up his mind. Out of love, out of his nature. I say that the core nature of God is love. Many of us come to the pulpit and project a God that is harsh, a God that is bitter, a God that is angry, a God that is always in judgment. That is not the core, the beauty, the design, the nature. If it was put together, the instruments, everything that was made God is love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that even in this case, he was not, let's say he's not aware of what we are going to be. And he already chose us in love before the foundation of the world. Did you see the dimension of God? In one case, he chose us when he didn't know us. He took the package without knowing what is inside. And when he got it, he loved us just like we are. He loved me and you that day. That is the love of God. Stubborn children, stiff-necked people, ungodly in our hearts, yet he already loved us. All he wants you today, anybody sitting here who have no Jesus Christ, is to come and sign up. Amen? Tell him, I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. Today, Satan will come and give us different messages that God does not love you, that God does not care for you. Many people, when you go to minister to them, the thing that comes out of their mouth is, if at all God loves me, why do I go going through this thing I'm going through? All of us have our burdens, afflictions, problems, things that we would rather not have. But I want you to know today, that does not in any way remove you from the love of God. Amen? You might be sitting here and say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't. But I want to let you know that God does know what you are going through. And that as hard as it may be, his love for you is everlasting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us quickly look at Romans chapter 8. From verse 35. And then we go to 38 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor even things to come. 39. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is sealed and delivered. This love was not designed for today. It wasn't designed for 2,000 years ago. It was designed before the foundation of the world. The nature of God is love. He chose us out of love. He brought us to where we are because of love. He brought Jesus Christ because of love. Christ went to the cross because of love. He died because of love, and he resurrected because of love. So when principalities and powers, neither height or depth, Neither tribulation nor perils of life come to tell you that God doesn't love you. Tell him, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loved me because it is demonstrated and it's shown it by all evidences that his love to me and you is genuine. We look at some of the things that the Bible says, and we may doubt in the time of affliction, you are not alone. When at times things are just so overwhelming, when things are just going so not in place or where we want it to be, and your heart starts to question that love of God. It is normal. You are not alone. I have my own burden just like anybody who is here. Things we would rather not have in life. But life brought it across to us. And Satan comes to whisper to you, give up. And the enemy comes to tell you, hey, why are you looking unto him again? He has forsaken you. Do what Job said. That mighty man of valor went through a lot. Had everything the life can offer. Children beautiful. Money, everything. Acclaim, power, prestige, renown in his environment. The greatest man in his area. And then Satan came to challenge and say, why wouldn't he be happy? Why wouldn't he worship you? He has everything. He got it all. And God said, well, with or without this, he will still love me. And so he went on a rampage and took his health, took his money, took his children, took everything that's made life worth living for him. At the end of the day, he says, what did Job say? He said, even if he slay me, even if he kill me, yet will I trust him. Now he may be quiet, yes, because that's a hard one. But look, he was able to see the love of God beyond some of these things. People around him even say, curse God and die. He said, well, I will not, because I will keep trusting the Lord. I will keep holding on to him. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning that fear that life has overloaded with things so much that you don't feel that love of God. Wait until you hear the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This physical realm we are looking at, this world is not the end. God has prepared things for me and you. Things beyond our understanding, expectation, or even things we can even say, we cannot think. We cannot imagine. We cannot foresee what God has planned for those that love him. Hold on, brethren. Don't give up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The love of God is such that it renews every morning. Which kind of love renews? Eros, the philia, the scourge, or any of them? It doesn't renew. Once there is a major problem or even a small one, some of us flip out. But Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23. It starts to tell us about this love. Go to verse 22 first. 3:22. It says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. I can tell you that there is no genuine compassion without love. They are new every morning. God's compassion, God's love towards you are renewed every day. It doesn't rot away. It doesn't expire. It doesn't decay. It is fresh every morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because of his faithfulness. I want everybody who is sitting here this morning to believe with me and thank God for what he has done and what he continues to do. The message of God is such that he gave his only begotten son. But even before then, he chose us out of love before the foundation of the world. And he packaged it with every other good things. And you may not be feeling those good things, but I want you to know and believe that God has great plans for you. And it will manifest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us, as we round up, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans 8, 32. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus does love us. Are you there? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has given us the greatest of sacrifice, his own very son, delivered him for me and for you on the cross of Calvary, he now asks you, how shall he not? That's why I say that the package that God has given us is beyond our understanding. Eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has the heart of any man perceived what God has in store for those that love him. As we stand on our feet this morning, as we round up, let's just stand on our feet. Bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is true. He has promised you eternal life. And if you are sitting here or standing here this morning, and you don't know what that love of God is, I want you to think that the love of God is beyond your understanding. When the enemy wants you to question it, and you cannot figure out in the midst of your trials and tribulations, go back to the word and declare that Jesus loves me. That's why he came and died. There is no other king or person that could do such thing, especially to an enemy. Especially to people who doesn't love him. The love of God is great. This morning we want to thank God for his mercy. And if you are here this morning, you don't have Jesus Christ. You don't have to come out. You can just, wherever you are, I want everybody to close their eyes. Just raise your hand. While people's eyes are closed, raise your hand and say, I don't have Jesus. I can see a hand raised over there. I can see people who believe that there is still hope for salvation. I want everybody to repeat with me, Jesus Christ, come into my life and take your place. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the love. I thank you for the sacrifice you made for me. I now accept you, Lord, as my Lord and as my Savior. Teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Teach me, Lord, to look unto you every day of my life from today. At the end, let me share your kingdom with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Finally, it says, he will rest over you in his love. I want you to know that God will rest over you in his love. That means his peace will be upon your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody.